Hi, everyone. Welcome to the TimingResearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 181 for December 21st, 2021. We are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And today we will be analyzing your trade ideas. So today I've arranged for Anka Metcalf of Trade Out Loud to join us, and you should be seeing her screen right now. And also the Option Professor of OptionProfessor.com is here to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, sounds great, David. And a big day today in the markets, a big reversal. And so it'll be very interesting to see what Anka can tell us about all the things that are going on right now. I see from the list that we have got some down and outs in Beverly Hills, and we've got some good leaders as well. So we have, and some metals. So we got quite a good diverse list. So be very good to go through these. Before we get started, Anka, a little bit about yourself for the people who are not familiar, and also what's going on at your company.
Hi, Jim. And thank you so much, David, for having me here today. I think this is this the last show, or do you have one more show for next week?
We're going to do both shows next week too.
Yeah. Oh, so wow. Awesome. Going strong. Second to last.
We finished strong right at the last
week. Absolutely. We start strong, we finish strong. Okay. So thank you so much, guys, for having me here today. It's always so much fun to analyze all these trades. Mm-hmm. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Anka Metcalf, and I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutLoud.com. I have been a professional independent trader for the last 18 years. So I gave up my job 18 years ago just to day trade equities, futures. I've traded Forex, dabbed a little bit into cryptocurrencies. I would not change anything that I have done within the last 18 years. So if I would start all over again, I would actually start sooner. So prior to becoming a trader and work from home trader, I have spent more than 10 years in investment banking. I'm also the CEO and founder of TradeOutLoud.com, which is a trading education firm that is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade, swing trade, and invest in the futures, the equities market, crypto market, forex market, etc. I'm also the designer of an institutional proprietary trading system. And the reason why I'm the designer is because, hey, I cannot take credit for technical analysis. It was there for ages. And I cannot take credit for things that were already set. But I have put a new spin on things. And I try to be a little bit more selective. And I have developed tools to enable myself and my traders to identify trades with these based on and more reliable trades from the risk reward standpoint, and also from the continuation and follow through standpoint as well. So I'm looking at price support resistance, and that is a little bit more than just a regular trader that's just dabbing into trading is looking at. So I'm looking at 7 or 8 layers of price support resistance, and I'm looking at a confluence areas where we have 2 or more areas of support resistance at different time frames, because that becomes a reactionary area. I also focus on specific trigger times, because I am a day trader, and I have been a day trader for 18 years to be exact, because I'm coming from the investing field. I came into the day trading field head on first, and it took me a while to get my groove into day trading, but this is something that I love doing, and I can't imagine doing anything else. I have spent many, many hours in front of the computer. So yes, more than 10,000 hours before you master one thing. And I have developed our proprietary specific trigger time. So there are times throughout the trading session in the morning and in the afternoon where stocks, futures are much more reactive towards a particular pattern and towards follow through than other times. Also specific price zones, also chart correlation is very important for price. If we have time today to talk a little bit more about the indices, the SPYs, the Qs, et cetera, we started the day today with NASDAQ being weaker structurally wise, percentage wise, and we have relative strength today in IWM and in the Dow. So these are some of the things that I like to focus on when developing an agenda on what I need to trade on that specific day. So we're also the proud winners of the Benzinga Global Benzinga FinTech Award for 2021. And we have won the best financial literacy tool for 2021. And that was first prize. And we're very excited for that. So thank you so much for giving me a little bit of time for the intro. And for those of you that want to learn more about Trade Out Loud, you can head on to our website, which is tradeoutloud.com.
Yeah, you definitely want to do that because, again, you've been doing a great job following these things. And today was a fantastic day. If you got up early, you had some great prices to jump in at. And by the end of the day, it was home run derby. So a fantastic day for short-term trading, unless you fought the tape. And then, of course, you paid the price for that. Huh?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Never.
Like we've talked about before, you like to get the engines that are already started and already going somewhere rather than going in the garage and messing around with an engine that's not working and hope that it works sometime down the road. So
I love that comparison.
Yeah, it really is a good visual for people because, you know, like I say, when things start moving, it's a body in motion tends to stay in motion theory, which is obviously a very good theory, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, then it comes down to the money management, and that's where you use your get out points. So if you're using good money management and you've got good inertia with the momentum, you know, that's a great combination.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's delve into the list. And the list is going to be something that did very well during the virus heyday back in 21 and 20, but it certainly got discounted after that. So let's put up DocuSign.
All right.
And I think it's viewed as a good company, but it's strictly a valuation problem, isn't it?
Well, I look at it from the technical standpoint.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The thing is that 87% is it now of the market volume is generated by algorithmic trading. So less thinking and more practicality when it comes to stocks.
I've noticed follow the money.
Just follow the money and follow the algos. And this is exactly what we do.
And this money has been leaving the building.
It's been leaving the building, but
it's starting to turn. Yeah.
I think that it's time for a pop-up in DOCU.
Yeah.
I think that it's getting ready. I'm not thinking about a trend change or anything like that, but I think it has a good possibility from the technical standpoint to pop up a little bit. The only reason why it's here is because and trading at the 155 to 154 level, so just below this 160, is because we had the big gap down, and this was quite an impressive gap down. I mean, if you would have been short here, oh my gosh, you would have made your 2022 to 2025 goal.
Yep.
But the reality is I was not. So I was not short. I was not long. So I typically don't like to dive into stocks prior to their earnings, not unless it's a lotto trade. And I don't do many of those on options trades, but we do have the gap down, right? That is providing us with a lot of information. The first question that we need to ask ourselves is where did the stock gap down into? And if we take a closer look at a larger time frame, it pretty much gapped down into nowhere land. So we don't have any kind of stable point that will show us reversal. So because the higher time frames are out of whack and they're not telling us anything, we have to zoom in, which is opposite to really what we need to do when we swing trade. Because usually when you're in doubt, you have to zoom out. Not in this case, because we have violated this massive support that was developed through 2020 and 2021. Wow, this is a big, big support level. We violated this. We became weak. So now this support is going to become resistance. In fact, this is going to become minor resistance. So because of that, things may get a little bit choppier. So I'm going to go ahead and put a level here just to have it, just to have it marked. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I'm seeing here. So this level is going to be the do or die. This is going to be the decision point. If the price is going to get into this 180 level, this 180 level may change a lot of things for the stocks. Number one, and obviously we're going to start earnings season. Let's see how they are going to be doing into this fourth quarter. They're going to report in I think they're going to report February, sometime in February. So let's see if things change in February. But until then, so this is the end of December, going into February when they report. I think it's going to be end of February. I have to check on that. If the price has a pretty good chance of going back into the 180, remember that there's a lot of pain in here. So people may want to take their losses and report them as losses for 2021. So what that may produce into the stock is actually an ascension into higher prices all the way, let's say, to 174 to 180. So they're feeling the pain, they're getting out, and this is going to produce that short squeeze that may drive the price higher into the 180s. Now, if we look very closely, we have a very interesting candle here. This is an inside candle. We do have the topping tail here that suggests that, hey, there's more selling that may be going on very soon, but contingent on breaking the gap down support, which is at 132. But the price held a little bit higher into the 133 and change. So there we have an inside candle. So a lot of indecision. So they're kind of like grinding their teeth and they're sitting in this trade still, hoping that the price is going to go higher. And then there's another inside candle, which is pretty much telling us the same thing, that they're holding on to their positions. They're not selling. They took the hit on this stock and they're willing to hold it into 2022. Now, what the price action for this week triggered just above this prior high. Now, this is an indication that the price may be ready to go a little bit higher into the 163, which is this top right here from the first week of December. And if we top this week over 162, then we may go higher all the way into the 178 to 180 area. And at this point, like I said before, this is going to be the decision point. If the price is going to break above this critical area of minor resistance into the 182 to 183, then we can see a pop up higher all the way to this 10 EMA, and then we're going to be back into this chop. But if not, if the price is going to get into the 175 or 180, any sell pattern along this area, below this area, is going to be a sell that may drive the price lower. And this time around, it could drive it even to $100 into the next support level, because they love to test and retest these prior highs or prior lows to prior price action.
Gotcha. Now this, I'd like to ask you a question though, that maybe other listeners would wonder. Is this the kind of setup that you'd want to mess with? Or is this really something out of the universe of all the things you could chase? This is a rough racket because you're basically playing for a bounce back rally, you know, and on this kind of situation, my inclination would be to use one of the shorter term charts. And then if you got a turn on the very short term chart, you could keep it on a short term leash, you know, something like a hourly or daily, or like a 5 day chart, maybe something like that.
I agree. And honestly, I'm not a really true believer, and I don't like to buy anything that is weak into the end of the year just because of window dressing. And this stock may not accelerate, because even though, you know, it started pretty strong, and I'm going to go again into the monthly chart. So it started pretty strong this year. So it went higher. It actually made a new high in August of $314.75. So it was on the good list. But right now for me, it's on the naughty list, because it's on the naughty list for many traders and investors out there. And I'm talking about institutional traders, because they are not going to dress up their portfolio with DOCU. I think they're going to ditch it, or they're going to stay in the position. Like I said, you know, kind of like grind their teeth into it, and then reassess it back into January. I think this is the type of play that if you have time on your side, you can play it, but it's not something that will provide you instant gratification as far as a big reward anytime within a week or 2 weeks.
It's kind of like Zoom in that it's a service that people definitely are using and definitely may obviously continue to use, but it's just a situation of how much do people want to pay on the valuation, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that DocuSign is a really good company. I think that, you know, for time flexibility, you don't have to travel. You don't have to do. Right. So I closed on a house. All the papers that we done were done online because of the pandemic. So I think that most of the companies out there are going to go back into DocuSign. I think this is going to be the norm. Nobody likes to travel anymore. Oh. Everybody became a little bit more lazy because of this. this, not only about the health concerns, but I think it's a really good company. I think it's going to revive, but I think it was a little bit overpriced going into $300. So right now, I would like to see this a little bit higher going into January as part of the January effect. And January effect may actually take it a little bit higher into the 180.
Yeah. All right, let's switch over to NVIDIA. Gave you an 18% discount off the high recently. And I think that discount is in the rearview mirror right now, isn't it?
I love discounts. I mean, who goes shopping?
Right. I mean, you got to love it at 18% and everything's using it, you know?
Exactly. I think NVIDIA has the potential to, it's actually one of the stocks that is on my 2022 list. That is viable on any kind of pullback. But at the same time, I like to look at technical areas before I dive in. One thing that I've noticed about NVIDIA, well, basically in 2020, it was basing for a really long, really long time before it took off. And then as you can see, the common denominator in NVIDIA is the 10 exponential moving average just here into the, let's say, from what was the September all the way into August. Oh, I'm sorry, into October. From September to October, it pulled back to the 20 SMA. This was actually the steeper type of pullback, but in any case, it likes to respect these two moving averages, whether it's the 10 or the 20. It always trades along those lines. And one thing that I liked about it is on the daily chart is that it pulled back. It's still under a little bit of pressure. It's on the 50 SMA. So this makes it good for a swing trade. But I think that we need to wait for a little bit more confirmation. For the aggressive side, for example, this would have been a buy right here into the 281 to 282 level with a really tight stop into the 270 based on a prior price action and based on the fact that it likes to coil and trade around this 10 exponential moving average. This is a really good mat line for a lot of retail traders and also hedge funds. I've learned that they love this 10 exponential moving average a lot. So once they see stocks that are overextended, the 10 exponential moving average loves to call the price into it just like a magnet. So it's a magnet for these really big stocks that have the tendency to rally a lot. So we have to wait and see how the week is going to close. And based upon how the week is going to close, this has the potential to do a very good reversal. And also NASDAQ stocks have the tendency to work a little better once you have new variants, new, coronavirus variants. That is, a new
more fears of going virtual.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's all about coronavirus stocks again. Yeah. And you're going to see these stocks start to react. But I love the pattern on it. The daily chart is obviously way too choppy, but I think if you look on the weekly, it looks perfect. If you're a day trader, wow. I mean, today it provided like the best 15-minute buy setup that I have seen in a very long time. So it sold off right into a medium pivot with a doji reversal. It was just textbook. Sure. For day trading purposes, keep this on the list. Yeah. If you are into day trading, if any of our listeners is into day trading, this one should be on your day trading list.
A lot of action.
It's a beautiful stock to day trade.
You can't day trade mules. You have to have secretariat. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right. Here's the next one. And I really want to hear what you got to say on this, because this is one of the great hook jobs of all time. And when I say hook job, let me explain. This thing was trading between 220 and about 235 or 210, 230 for like months and months and months. So all of a sudden they break it out to new highs to 241 and change. And boy, was that a hook, because after it went on that breakout, whoever sold that should be jailed, because obviously they must have known something. And it went from 241 all the way down to wherever it just dropped to. So this is the Russell proxy called IWM. And I would love to see what you think. Is this a value and it's going to go nuts as we go into the new year? Or is this a dead dog that remains is going to remain dead?
Okay. So from my trading experience is that going into the end of the year, IWMs have the tendency to perform and to outperform actually all the other stocks. Okay. So it's a great pick. It's a great stocking stuffer in and it's a great way to, you know, dab a little bit into some ETFs if you're into ETF trading as a trader. The one thing that this ETF has, so Russell, it has a one common denominator. So if you're looking at RUT, 2100 is the line in the sand. If you're looking at IWM, is this 207? 207 is like printed in there. So you have to ask yourself, what is the reaction of IWM each and every single time when it comes into 207 level? Well, it pops up, comes back into 207 or close to 207, and then it pops up, then back into 207, then it pops up. So every single time, but this is massive support. In fact, we haven't made a new high. Well, let's not talk about this, and I'm going to do this for now.
Yeah.
And let's say we ignore it for now. Let's just zoom in. And then,
so you think this 207 area is very, very important. And there is a potential, because, you know, right now snapping back towards 225 or 230 might make sense, right?
Absolutely. So I think this is the level of defense. Once the price is going to break this 207 level, there are two things that could happen. It could either have a shakeout, because most of the investors that are actually legged in right now into the trade, they're going to be, you know, holding on as long as the price stays above 207. So they're going to have probably their stops. There are a lot of algos into this. As you know, ETFs are algo rich. So a lot of algos are trading them, day trading or swing trading them. So again, having a lot of these algos have their stops right under that 207. Now, once that 207 is going to be hit, you could have a snowball effect. So we could either have a shake, a big shake, and that's going to be a snowball effect for price. So the price can actually start coming in fast to the downside. And of course, if we have some narrative, that's even going to help it. So if there's, you know, God forbid,
now is the bottom indicator kind of indicating that we have bottomed and made a turn? And is that a little bit of a divergence when you got that low on the 29th and then the low at the other one is higher? So there's a divergence on the two lows in that indicator?
Exactly. So not only the chart pattern, I was just going to mention that, not only the chart pattern, so we had a peekaboo high here, and then we had the price come in back into this 207 level to be tested. The one thing that I have noticed is that since we made this this low right here on the 29th, which was the actual retest into the base, for the very first retest into the base, we have made a low and actually a really super oversold area into the William percent R. Then we went back a little bit and the price got hooked into these moving averages. Then the price went back down, retested a little bit. And then we have the low and the higher low right here, which is a pretty good indication that the price may be getting ready to go higher.
Oh, definitely. At least into, that's a very attractive setup.
Beautiful divergence here. Beautiful divergence. The price may be getting ready to get into the 223s, thinking of 223s. And then this is going to be the decision area. And then again, if the price is going to start closing over 225 and change, then the price will get hooked right above those moving averages, and it's going to have to pop up back into the top of the range here.
Yeah, I think this is a casualty also of the fears of higher interest rates, and if those fears abate, then these are the ones that got everybody short, got everybody out. So obviously the order imbalance is for the upside.
Right. Yeah. And one other thing that I like about the pattern is that the monthly chart, remember we were talking about the 10 exponential moving average. So we are still hovering right now above the 20 simple moving average. We opened above this month and we're still trading a little bit above. So I love that. It's still a picture of strength. And as long as that 207 remains intact. So I was telling you that I have two versions that can happen here. So version number one is that if we hit that 207, it's going to start shaking out, right? So it's going to be a massive shakeout because the stops are going to get triggered and there are going to be some shorts that are going to jump in that are going to force the price lower. The other thing is that any weak setup on this potential shake that is going to happen, this is version number two, if we have another pattern that will develop a weak pattern, a sell setup, a breakdown, or whatever the pattern may be below this 207, then I think we're going to start going back to 200 or 195. So one of the two things can happen to the downside. And of course, as long as it's holding the 10 EMA, and of course, as long as it's holding this weekly support into the 207, we could go easy steps day by day for a continuation higher. So for example, today, because we had a super strong close in all the indices and all the ETFs, we still have room for higher. This, well, I mean, look at this price action. So yeah. Choppy. Yeah.
So, all right. The next one on the list is LRCX, not something I'm familiar with. So, or at least I'm not familiar with the symbol.
Okay. So LRCX.
Oh, Lam Research. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not really a really big fan either.
This would be part of the semis or just part of tech?
I'm not really sure about mm-hmm. that. I don't trade it that much. Okay. Maybe
it's a pretty expensive stock.
It is a really expensive stock, and because I do like to own them, yeah. So I like to trade the common. Not a big fan of options, but it is totally tradable. I'm seeing that it has pretty good volume: 1.2 million shares on the day, 2.1 million shares on the week, 21 million shares plus on the monthly. So it trades pretty well, even on the smaller time frame, so it has really good liquidity into it. So that makes it a pretty good common trade as well. But what I do like about this, and this is again very similar to what could have happened in IWM. You see the range, you see the top of the range right here. Mm-hmm. So we have a very nice support area within these multiple tops that create a very nice support level for the price action.
Yep.
So this is a really nice rotational point, mm-hmm. because any kind of price pullback that comes back from the high into a prior resistance creates minor support. Now, minor support is present only in ongoing trends, and they actually predict rotational patterns from that point if those points are respected. And today we did have the rotation. So we had the doji right here, and we had the buy set up. And today we actually closed above these MAs, and we made a new high. So in the next few days, we could actually see 700. I'm not excluding even a new high.
What are the after you see a pullback like that, do you sometimes see an attack on the high?
Yes, absolutely. So it's going to go back into the highs, and pullbacks that are often pullbacks that often happen into these prior highs have the tendency to rotate and continue. And I would like to put back IWM here because it's so important to assess the same pattern. So we did have the peekaboo high, but when we pulled back, we didn't pull back to this support level, to the prior resistance that formed support level, but we actually dove a little deeper into the support. Typically, if you have relative strength in a stock or an index, you want to see it pull back into a prior high and then rotate off of this prior high to revisit the prior high. And then it's getting ready to engage into new highs. Pullbacks that often occur into these minor support levels create new highs. So they are a really good patterns to watch. So LRCX, going back to LRCX here, this is exactly what the stock did. So it proves a lot of strength. Plus you have the 10 EMA, plus you have these prior highs right here, and you have strength on the daily, you have strength on the weekly right now, and you're very close to hitting a high into the 719. I think this is going to go higher. I think this stock has a pretty good chance of hitting the window dressing stock because it is up on the year. It is really, really ready to take on new highs. And in fact, you could see that nice, I would say, bull flag formation that we have here, or a pullback buy off of this doji. Beautiful, beautiful formation. And it does have a lot of upside. In fact, it's just getting started right now with this retracement. You can see here that this month, the month of December, we just made a high of 719. We still have a lot of room to go into the 750. And for 2022, perhaps we're going to see 900, if not even more. It has a really nice pattern. You can see here that the price got extended from the 10 EMA, pulled back to the 10 EMA, it rotated, and it's ready for new highs. I like it from this standpoint. It's a really good stock. If you're into options trading, this is a great pick.
Sure. Well, the next one is Silver, SLV, and I'm sure people are trying to figure out how we can have 7% inflation, 1.5% or 140 on the 10-year, and the metals don't go anywhere. So.
I mean, what's up with that? that. Yeah. Nothing correlates anymore.
Not really.
I mean, like, you know, usually you see metals rally with high inflation. You see metals rallying and metals are not lifting a finger. Yeah. So that's one of the things that we need to readapt our trading, because nothing is as it was. And we we should not look for a lot of reasons behind these moves, but technical reasons. And I keep on reminding myself every single time about, you know, remember 87% is algorithmic trading. So we have to trade what we see and not what we think, and not, it's not our, you know, it's not our 2020 market. It's not our 2020 market. And especially it's not our 2000 market or 2010 market.
Right.
It is a totally different animal. But here's the good news about silver. I like silver. If you're on the investing side, I think you should own some silver. We have prior resistance. Look how textbook this is. We have prior resistance that right now is support. We have support just below the $20 area. Really nice setup right here. And every single time we have the price pull back into this prior pivot high from 2016 is actually, we have a pretty decent upside reaction, but it's not ready to go anywhere. So since we made the high back in February, the price has not been going anywhere. We actually have made a new high last year and the price has not been going anywhere since then. This is just a big, massive consolidation. When I see these massive clusters form, I like to go far out, for example, on the quarterly charts, because the quarterly charts are giving us a much a better perspective of long-term than smaller time frames that we sometimes tend to neglect. And what I'm seeing here is that we do have a really nice support level. And I think that within January, February of 2020, if we manage to get over the 2360 to 2350 is actually what we need. Just a pinch over 2350, we're all ready to go higher into the 25. Now, remember that the reason why we're stuck here is because we're determining right now a new price range for silver. We also have these lows. So we have this high, this more recent high, and we have these lows right here. And this is why the price is actually trading into this area. Obviously, we break below $20. We can come in into the 17 or possibly even 15 or 11 area. I think this is a really good commodity to hold for long term. It's a silver. Silver is used for the production of cell phones. iPhone uses a lot of silver components and in general, the cell phone industry. And there are a lot of other uses for silver. Silver right now, but some other sectors were really hot and investors didn't feel like they needed to allocate budget for metals right now. And I think that's the only reason why the metals are not rallying at the moment, but I will keep this in mind and I would run with this idea with my idea over 2350 is ready to go into the 25. We pop over 25 and change. We're ready for higher to 30, 35 and back into the highs of 48. And let's see how inflation is going to do in 2022. Maybe they are going to start picking up and maybe they are. But right now, remember when we were, back in the day when we were thinking and when we wanted to hedge against inflation with metals, we didn't have cryptocurrencies. We didn't have NFTs. We didn't have SPAC trades. We didn't have any other options that we can put our money into. Now we have a whole plethora of things that we can trade. So right. I think that
is really illustrative, emblematic of your philosophy in that the price is here, but you would rather see the river flowing in a direction and then get into the boat, meaning get to the 2350 and call me, and then get to 25 and we add. You know what I mean?
Right.
As opposed to here, you might buy, and who's to say 3 more months we'll still be in this range?
Oh, absolutely.
So, but I mean, you could also say that, hey, if it starts going, you know, then of course your interest would pick up considerably.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Moderna because that thing is all over the place. Was up 6% yesterday and then down 6% yesterday. And I don't know what it did today. Today it's getting hit again, I think.
Yeah. Well, here's another example of a stock that is just basing. This is a weekly chart. So this week we triggered a little bit higher. I think this is a big problem because, as algos and as these HFT adds these HFTs and gray boxes, black boxes are seeing this is they're seeing it in a range. So they don't have a lot of interest into it. And I think that investors are not really wanting to, you know, dab into something that is really not into a massive uptrend going into the end of the year. So institutions are not going to get into Moderna into the end of the year as part of the window rally, window dressing rally. From the standpoint of support, it has a lot of support into the 250 all the way into the 210 area. The 50 SMA is relatively keeping the price in check. The price is still trading above the 50 SMA. And as long as these levels are going to hold, I think that it may still coil around this area. I don't see a setup yet in Moderna. I would not get into it. I would not trade it personally.
This could be a casualty if the variant turns out to be like South Africa, where it spikes and then it goes right away and the deaths aren't too bad. Could this be a casualty of the variant becoming not as big of an issue as people think?
Probably it can be that, but I've heard the news just before coming on air now. And I heard Israel has already authorized the fourth vaccine for coronavirus. So I don't know if this theme is going to pick up or not, but probably, and if it is, Pfizer and Moderna may continue higher.
Well, my left arm's getting a little sore from all these boosters. <you know? laughs> All right, let's move to TLT, I thought it was a fantastic buy, and it went up while people thought it was going to go down. But now I'm a little bit dicey on it. What do you think?
I think that all in all, the monthly chart is pretty good and pretty robust. It had a great buying opportunity when it was back into the 140s. You have the 50 SMA right here, and you had a nice run into the 10 EMA, into the 20 SMA, and now it's doing another higher low, which is good because we have a low, we have a higher low, and this is the third higher low. Typically, when we see this, the pattern is ready for higher. So any pop over 155 is going to send the price higher into the 170s. And I think that maybe like once the tech stocks are going to start moving a little bit more, maybe TLT is going to start moving. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if TLT goes up, that means yields are dropping. And if yields are dropping, that can't be terrible news for the NASDAQ.
Right.
You know, anyway, let's turn to I think this is a steel, Nucor, NUE.
All right, steel.
Yeah, some of these metals, look like people are interested in them again.
Yes, I think they draw a lot of interest. I've noticed a lot of price action going into Alcoa and
Freeport. McMoRan had a great day.
Yes. And copper in general had a pretty decent day today.
Yeah.
And I think it's on a verge of continuing higher. And speaking of commodities, could we talk about commodities as well?
I think
natural gas. Natural gas may be getting ready. So whether you're trading futures natural gas or you're looking at UNG, it may be getting ready to pop probably into next year. We have a lot of cold weather in the Midwest and all that stuff. So maybe getting ready.
Europe is totally freezing over there.
Yes. Exactly. So it's that time of year when we love to make profits in our natural gas, and natural gas prices are soaring. All right. So with NUE, I love the pattern. It's a massive consolidation. I see a great follow through for 2022 contingent on we break this 120 to 122 and we're off to the races. This has been a massive consolidation since printing a new high in August, and it's getting ready for a pop-up. In case it doesn't do a pop-up, we do have support into the 90s and into the 100. So look at these levels. And, as long as these levels are going to hold, we're looking fine for the upside. And we are trading. So 2021, look at 2021. 2021 was great. So this is the breakout of 2021.
Yep.
And then we went February, March, April, May, June with a new high. We had a new high in August. We haven't made a new high since August, but this is definitely one of the stocks that can be picked up as a window dressing stock because it had a great advance for 2021 and may do really well in 2022 as well.
Can we look at Cleveland Cliffs real quick, CLF? Some people are thinking it's a $30 stock, and I know it's trading around 20 or was trading.
$20. Okay, here's my pick. I did a little bit of scanning this weekend, and I actually love this formation. It's again a big cluster on the monthly chart, but I love this. monthly BART. So depending on how we close this month, I'm going to be really bullish on it if we trade above December high. Above December high, we're going to go back into this 200 SMA right here for $26 and change, $27, $28. And if we break above the 200 SMA, obviously, I think that this pause that we have, let me just refresh the chart. This pause that we had here was actually a digestion of this level. Once we pop over $27, this stock is gone. Mm-hmm. I think that we can see $40, $50.
I mean, that's got a heck of a potential if it gets moving. Huh?
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. This it's next guy is one of my favorites because it pays a nice dividend. You know, everybody says you can't earn interest on gold. Well, you can get paid a dividend with NEM of about 3.75% or better, which is a heck of a dividend. And if it can hold this 52 area, 53, 54 NEM, maybe there's something there. What do you think?
I think that we should start looking at this very seriously. And NEM, like you said, I love a stock that pays me a bonus just to own it.
Just own it.
NEM, NEE, these are really good dividend stocks. I think it needs to pop over this 20 SMA and close above it. $60.75. Once it's there, I think we shouldn't have any problem reaching these prior highs into the 70s. And even into the next year.
Is the bottom
year,
indicator telling you that it might be happening?
Oh, I love this rounded bottom here as well. Mm-hmm. So every time when it went into this massive oversold area, look what it did. So we had a bottom in here and it wasn't such, you know, such steep as this one that we have now. And also this was a similar one. And back in August of 2018, look what happened from 2018. Oh my gosh, look at it all the way into August 2020. It was a massive rally. So we're back into that buying area again, where investors are kind of like looking at it and say, hey, I want a piece of that.
Yeah. And like I say, what greater thing to be getting great cash flow on your money and you're holding on to something. And then if it goes up to 70 or 75, your principal's going up, plus you're getting the cash flow. I mean, that's pretty much a double whammy. I'm saying that that's a good thing. if it happens, like I say, right now we're waiting for it to close above 60. But if it does do that and you're making a good principal appreciation and getting paid to watch, that's pretty good. All right, let's go to CAH and get an idea of what you think there.
All right, so this is Cardinal Health. Cardinal Health, and I think that we should have a little bit of patience with Cardinal Health. This is not going to get picked up into the end of the year. It's not going to make the good list, the Santa list. It's going to be on the naughty list. It's going to probably get ditched into the end of the year. But this could be a good stock going into January as part of the January effect because it's on support. So people like to look at stocks that are trading on support into the new year plus. We do have the JP Morgan Healthcare Conference going on first week of January. And that is pretty much the launch of some trends that may be going on for 2022. That's going to be something very interesting to watch. So even if we talked about the support is going into the $40, but right now we're trading, we have an upper support into the $45. So we can see that we have the low, we have higher lows, and we have higher lows right here. Still, the stock is under a lot of pressure because of the fact that it's trading below the 200 simple moving average. I know a lot of funds and a lot of hedge funds that don't even look at stocks if they're trading below the 200 SMA. So they're waiting for the price to be above the 200 SMA for them to leg in. So this is not going to be very appealing to them. It's going to be very appealing once the stock gets into the $60 and change. But I also like the long, long, long time frame. And I always, when I see this kind of chop, I always like to look at quarterly charts. And quarterly charts are still, like I said, they're still into a lot of support. It's not going to get picked up because 2021 was not a great year. You can see that we had highs here right in the first into the first quarter. This is the first quarter, January, February, March. Each candle represents 3 months of trading activity. By the way, for those of you guys that are new to trading, and then we had an inside bar. This was pretty definitive here because if we would have popped over $62.25, we would have been higher. But instead, we dropped below 54, which put in motion the short selling to get the price back into support. And now we're back into support. So I would just, this is the kind of stock that I would just leave alone.
Sure. Ford had a big run up and then a pullback. Is it a good value down here?
I love Ford. I think that Ford, General Motors, in fact, I am in General Motors long term. I think these are going to be be great picks for 2022, especially with the electric vehicles and that they're coming up with all the innovation that they're doing. These are going to be really good picks. First of all, I want to look at the weekly still trading price above the 10 EMA, so still has the capacity to power trend. The other thing that I like about it is actually the day trading chart. Looks kind of messed
up. How
about
here. The PE's only 10 too, huh?
Yeah. So I do very like cheap. The price point is unbelievable. So yes, if you're looking to invest some money, Ford is it. So only a $19 stock. Seriously, Ford has been around for so many years. And that's what, you know, when I'm trading commodities, I keep on reminding myself, especially if I'm a long-term and I'm in trades long-term, you know, and for example, I'm in natural gas. It's like, it's natural gas. Remember when natural gas was at $1.40
right.
last year?
They were giving it away.
Exactly. You're like, why am I not buying natural gas here? I mean, even how can natural gas go to zero? It can never go to zero, right? So natural gas is natural gas. You have all of these, what are they called? Yes, exactly. You got it. So you have to produce energy somehow, right? So it's either with natural gas, it's either with coal, right? Or crude with oil. So these are the three dominant commodities that, you know, produce electricity. So in order for you to have an electric car, remember that it has to be powered by something. So the power plant, here's what I was looking at. The power plant needs to be, in order to be operational, it uses coal or it uses natural gas or it uses crude oil. So, I mean, these commodities are not going to go anywhere. So Ford is a definite buy. Even if it drops to $15, it's still going to be a good buy. This is a scale in type of trade. Hold it, you know, kind of like media hold. If you're looking for 5, 10 years, 20 years, this is your stock.
Are you doing anything with agriculture commodities much? Because
yes.
The price of soybeans went from $17 down to $12. I thought
absolutely.
About 12.
We are in soybeans.
And then now yes. today it looks like it's on its way, you know?
Yes, we are in soybeans at, let me just put the chart.
Yeah, the pullback was right down to that former resistance that you like, which was around $12 in 2013 or something.
Exactly. We are in at $12.66. So we got in at $12.66 and we have been in. We have target all the way to $13.50. We also have a target at $13.20 today. Only made a high of $13.13. But we're looking for a continuation higher. I think that soybeans, corn, corn as well is a really good. I mean, look at this setup. I mean, look at this grain here. How can you not buy it?
Right.
It's heading on for a gap fill. The reason why I stayed here for quite some time is because it wanted to digest this prior pivot low that came in. Yeah. But other than that, earlier this year in May, it's a slow grind. And remember, the biggest moves in the market come from the smallest bars and smallest patterns and smallest formations. So this fits the bill. Also, if you look at it very closely, we have the moving averages, which are fanning out, which is a really good sign of strength and maybe a power trend coming in soon.
Yeah, and you never know, a fundamental thing like frost here or there in South America, the next thing you know, bam, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, the next one is Square. Square, I think, has been in for some rough riding. Let's see how it looks.
Yeah, really
rough. A little rough to be in Square lately.
Very rough. I'm not.
Except recently, yeah. I mean, this is, there's a little bit of a bump.
Today was a sign of revival, okay? Mm-hmm. So it has been, and you can see here. So again, when you're using, for example, and when I'm using an indicator, for example, like William Percent R, if you're using an RSI or using Stochastic, I mean, you have to make sure that you read the pattern and you read the indicator as well, because they both have to match. And here was a total mismatch because we were in an oversold area for so long here. Yeah. But you can see that every time we went into the oversold area, we had very shallow bounces. So we didn't have a continuation pattern. So with that being said, I am not in any long-term trades or medium-term trades into Square. Square can be day traded, but not swing traded in any way. The weekly chart as well, you can see that it's pretty much in the middle of nowhere. It has a little pivot here, but it's totally unsignificant. So I think it needs a lot of price evidence before we dive into it. So I don't have a bias into it. For example, example, on the daily chart, we're back into resistance. We don't know if tomorrow it's going to have a continuation higher or lower. In my personal experience, I know that stocks that are not close to it, their 52-week high, they're not making new highs on the year, especially in December. They're not going to get picked, and they're just going to get ditched into the year end as part of window dressing. They're just going to dump. So they look smart.
Exactly. I mean, if you had Square in your portfolio, people would say, what the heck are you doing with this thing in there?
Yeah. Exactly. So they're going to sell it. So here's the thing. They're going to sell it. Yeah. But what they're going to be doing, they're going to put Square on the back burner because it's still a good stock. So
But they don't want to be a hero.
Exactly. They're going to jump probably into stocks, maybe UNH, Home Depot.
Rather than Cardinal Health, they might go UNH. Rather than this thing, maybe they go with PayPal or something like that. Yeah.
In high flying stocks. And then as part of the January effect, I think this may have a good chance for a revival.
Yeah. Especially if the TLT runs up where the interest rate picture looks like it's going to be benign.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, let's skip to number 15. So we have time for you to throw a couple of your own ideas in here, because this last company is one that I've loved since 155. Keys, K-E-Y-S.
I love it too.
And as soon as it got above 155, I was all over the thing, and it still looks like a good deal, doesn't it?
This is like a good deal. This is a really good stock. Yeah. It has, and this is what you want to see. It's a picture of strength. It's the weekly chart. Last week, it just made a new all-time high of 205.48, and it just pulled back to the 10 EMA. It's again, the power trending off of this 10 EMA. Now, this stock loves the 20 SMA, so you could easily see it that it pulls back to the 20, it goes back up, pulls back, goes back up, pulls back to the 20. So I think that it may be getting ready to pull back, but not now. I think it's probably going to pull back in the first quarter sometime. Right. If you have time on your horizon, of your investment horizon, just ride it out, because and every time it pulls back and it does one of these really nice rotations, then it's time to add.
You're just coming in, maybe do a little dollar cost averaging, take a bite here and then save some of your money for 180.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. We're at the 5-minute mark. And why don't we get some of your ideas, which obviously are always very, very interesting to check out.
Okay, sure. I'm going to start with something like what I did call today in my trading room. And we have a trading room. I don't trade stocks in the trading room, but this, because we were analyzing the Dow today, I saw a great potential in Boeing. So Boeing had a really great trading opportunity today. And I love the fact that it pulled back here, forming almost a double bottom with confirmation. Mm-hmm. And I did see this one at 191. I call it in the room. I said, listen, 191 or 192, let's get in. It's going to go to 200 either today or tomorrow. It had a high today of 199.69. So that is pretty impressive for one day. Over 5.8% up, $11 up in Boeing. This is a really, really good reward. And I think that it may be getting ready for a really nice, I like it for long term. But I think, not the quarterly. I wanted to go to the monthly here. So, okay. So I think it's setting up for a really nice setup going into the beginning of January, because the more we build up a little bit of green here, and it could potentially hook into this 20 SMA. And if it trades over the December high, it may be getting ready for a little bit higher. And this will represent the actual third or fourth higher low from the pandemic low, because Boeing got really hit here with the pandemic, obviously.
But that formation of a pullback could very well be a prelude to going after that 275 and going up into the threes. We're talking longer term next year.
Longer term for definitely. It's going to be on my list. I already have some lots of Boeing.
And the bottom area is an indication that we're beginning something, not ending.
Absolutely. One stock that I love, it reported earnings yesterday, and this is Micron. And Micron, I love the gap. It gapped up above resistance. It formed a solid support here. It has a nice rocket formed candle. Tomorrow, this may be bullish going into the end of the year. Yeah. Over $91.15, and may be ready to take on higher price action. And we're going to go here to the monthly, ready to go to the 95.96. And we have a high here, all-time high of 96.96. So it's getting ready for these highs right here. Very nice looking. We have 80 for the support level. I think it's ready to rock and roll, not only for the end of the year, but it's going to go into 2022 as well. And another name that has been incredibly strong is Cisco. Cisco. Yeah. And I think Cisco has the potential to become like the new NVIDIA. Seriously. I mean, I love this stock. I've had Cisco in my portfolio forever. Yeah. It's a slow mover, but it's a really great stock. With a brand new high in the year, this is definitely going to get picked up in case we're going to have a Santa rally later this week or maybe going into next week. Typically, historically speaking, Santa Claus rallies are a little bit after Christmas, so 2 to 3 days after Christmas. Yeah. But we have seen Santa Claus rallies 2 days actually before Christmas as well. So this can be a good pick for a run up higher. And also Disney. I think Disney is ready for higher. It had a huge
price. That's a discounted value, huh?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's a great stock. I love the low.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. If it breaks 155, you're going to love it, right?
Oh, I think I love it already. Yeah. And yes, going into tomorrow, if it breaks 151.50, it's going to get ready to 155. So, you know, this is a good scale and opportunity just a little bit at a time. Yeah. And then if it breaks 155, like you said, then we're ready for 160. So that's a really huge move. It's about, we're talking about almost a $10 move.
Yeah, people are warming up to the concept of they're going to be going out and having some fun next year.
Yes.
And part of that is going out on the plane into Disney, into the Marriott, into the Hilton and all the rest of the ones, you know?
Yeah,
Expedia is going to write the ticket to get you there, you know?
I totally agree. And I don't think that Omicron is all that negative, because the one thing that I like about it, of course, obviously I don't like it, but the one thing that I like it is that it has milder symptoms. So maybe the variants are weakening. Yeah. Maybe that's a good sign.
Yeah. What about Expedia real quick before you sign off? I think that might be up your alley. EXPE looked to me like it was going someplace.
Right. EXP, massive move today. Yeah. As you can see, I have an alert for it here already.
Well, this is a one-stop shop for travel. If you want to get involved in travel and leisure, this is the guy who runs the show, right?
Absolutely. I use Expedia all the time when I travel. So so it's, you know, really easy to use. I think this is going to be number one with Airbnb. All the travel, the travel stocks are going to be top watches for 2022 when everybody is like literally, you know, keeping their fingers crossed that everything is going to go away and we're going to get back to normal.
Yeah. Window dressing. This would be one you'd want to have in your window dressing, you know?
For sure. For sure. Because it's trading into the highs. It's trading at 177. We actually have a high of 191. So it's been acting very bullishly. I love the monthly chart as well. Really nice big consolidation. This can go far. So this has a lot of upside potential here. So $200, $220, $250, $270. So it has a lot of potential for the upside. Yeah. Nice bull flag formation. It is beautiful. Long term, it is just beautiful.
Yeah. And Anke, I think we just noted, you'll have your own ideas when people come to you, but you also can analyze other ideas and give them a little bit of an idea if it looks any good in your view or not. So right now, let's make sure everybody knows exactly how to get a hold of you and how you can help them.
All right. So if you guys want to check out our website, it is tradeoutloud.com. We have two services that we offer, day trading and swing trading. Day trading, we day trade futures. And swing trading, we trade stocks, futures, we trade pretty much anything. And we have some crypto ideas there as well. And if you guys want to learn how it's done, and if you like, you know, my approach to market, we do have classes. Check the educational tab on our website.
Sounds great. And as far as Option Professor, each week we have a free weekly newsletter going over income, growth, international investing, and speculation. So by going to optionprofessor.com and putting your email in, you'll be eligible to receive that each and every week. Great, Anke, to talk to you. You obviously brought some fantastic ideas to the forefront here. And I'd like to turn it over to David. And again, thanks a lot for being here, Anke.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here today.
All right, thanks. Yeah, a ton of good info today. Went over a lot of good stuff. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. And you can also just go to timingresearch.com to get access to this episode as soon as I can get it posted, as well as any of the past shows or episodes or events. And so I just want to thank my guests again for today, Anke Metcalf of tradeoutloud.com and the Option Professor of optionprofessor.com. And Anka, you want to, we could talk about our plans for next year real fast. So Anka, of course, is my partner on the Synergy Trader events that we do. And
partner in crime.
So we have a ton of good events planned for next year as well. And we had been planning on something a little different for January, but I think we're going to put that on hold for a while. And we're going to do a, what are the dates we decided on? January 26th.
So we do have March 8th. Yes, we do have our signature event, which is the fourth annual Women Teach Trading and Investing, which is a 3-day full event. I think we're, David, you're working on 12 speakers per day. And this is going to be so exciting. This is March 8th through March 10th. And again, this is about trading, trading any asset, trading any style of trading, from day trading, swing trading, investing, etc. Any asset, like I said. And then April 19th through the 21st, again, a 3-day massive event. This is Tech Wizards, where we're going to bring you the best software companies, the best indicator companies, the best algorithmic companies, app companies, platform companies, everything dark pool companies, everything that is going to help you improve your trading. So this is going to be a really super exciting event. Then on May 24th through the 26th, we have, again, a 3-day event. Trading psychology mindset is so important. So we have trading psychology, discipline, and time management, also trade management as well. This is going to be a super important event, because what is the strategy without having the right mindset, the right discipline to wait for the trade, whether to scale out of the trade or scale into the trade, and that time management, how you do that. And then again in June, we're going to have the from the 21st to the 23rd, we're going to have a 3-day event with options, forex, and futures. And these are individual dedicated days. It's going to be super important to attend this event, because if you're looking to get into trading and you want to learn more about options, or kind of like having a defined area where you want to find your niche, this is it. Whether options or forex or futures, this event is for you. And then in July, another 3 days of, guess what? Investing, long-term trading. And again, remember guys, that the summertime is one of the best times as well to start dabbing into some stocks if you're on the investing side. So this is really great planning, David, because I love to find investment opportunities at the beginning of the year and into the middle of the year. So this is great timing. So this is going to be investing and really long-term trading for any asset. In August, we're going to take a break. Everybody is going on vacation here. And then in September, we're going to be back in force. September 6th through 8th, again, 3-day event. We're going to have VIX and news trading event. And this is perfect because September is the kickoff of the most volatile month, and the volatile, I would say, 2 to 3 months of the year. September is really choppy. September and October are some of the choppiest ones, and we see some of the biggest volatility spikes. And that's why we created this event, VIX and news trading event. In October, 3 days of commodities and cannabis, right? So let's not forget cannabis. Let's not forget commodities. Jim and I were talking a little bit about commodities. We're talking about soybeans. We're talking about crude oil, natural gas, etc. Learn a little bit of what fuels the economy. This is so important. And then on November 15th through the 17th, another 3 days of Friendsgiving. This is going to bring you some of your best presenters. It's going to be fantastic. So again, in January, we're still debating on or off, right? We're just getting our end started.
Yeah, we just talked about this last night. So January 26th and 27th, we're pretty sure the theme is going to be 2022 watch list. So all the presenters will do presentations on their favorite stocks, commodities, assets, crypto, whatever they want to talk about that they are watching closely or trading or investing in for 2022. So that's the summary of the year that we have planned for Synergy Traders. So yeah, should be a lot of good education again.
A lot of good education, and it's going to be a lot of fun. In 2022, I think it's going to be an amazing year. We have already a lot of volatility into the market. Volatility is good because it creates the follow through to targets a lot more with a lot more ease. And we just prepped for about 3 years with volatility. So we're ready to go. Mm. So I think it's going to be a fantastic year. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for today. So thanks, Anca, for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks, David. And thanks, Jim. And Merry Christmas for everybody in here. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you guys next year.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Anca.
Thank you.